David Plumley. Editor's note. I would like to occasionally spotlight members who have unique skills, talents, hobbies, or jobs. This quarter, the spotlight is on David Plumley, who arranges and records music. He gives us a concise history of home recording with emphasis on his own recording and arranging. Many of us enjoy singing and playing an instrument for the pleasure of making music, whether as entertainers or just for the sheer pleasure of music making. I'm pretty sure that most of us who have engaged in music making have at least occasionally wished for a way to keep a performance to hear it again or play it for others. The audio recorder, no matter the medium employed for that recording, makes that enjoyment possible. The history of audio recording goes all the way back to the Edison cylinders late in the 1800s and extends well into the modern computer-based digital recording technologies used by commercial recording companies. Although such equipment has long been outside the budget and ability of home musicians, some disc recorders, which a homeowner might buy, appeared in the 40s. One of these recorders would cut singular, scratchy 78 RPM records, and some amusement centers featured small booths where one could drop in a coin and capture a performance of a couple minutes in length. The quality of these recordings was a far cry from that obtainable by some basic recorders now available. One hallmark of these recorders is that the recording, once cut into a disc, could not be erased nor corrected in any way. When I was a small child, I saw one of those recorders and held a great handful of thread, which was actually the string of material removed from the surface of the disc during the recording process. Home recording took a giant step forward with the introduction of the wire recorder, having a mechanism transporting wire from a supply spool across a magnetic head to a take-up spool. In my opinion, the golden advantage of the wire recorder was the system of magnetic recording, which provided the ability to erase part or all of a recording and redo it. Home recording took another giant leap forward when magnetic tape replaced the spools of wire, which could easily become tangled or broken. The fidelity of recordings on the tape recorder far surpassed those made on the old wire technology. Our little history will begin with the era of magnetic tape, which consists of a thin, flexible plastic material coated with something from the iron oxide family, which would readily respond to the magnetic signal. The early tape recorders continued the deck with the supply reel of tape, the magnetic head, and the take-up reel to hold the tape after the audio was recorded on it. A few years after magnetic tape became affordable and practical for homeowners, stereo recording was introduced. Some of these recorders had auto-reverse mechanisms, but the common setup required the operator to manually turn over the reels and swap them to access the other side of the tape. The next step of interest to us is the introduction of the so-called Phillips cassette, a rectangular plastic cartridge containing two reels serving as supply and take-up reels. As we all know, the cassette system was greatly simplified tape handling procedures. You just pop a cassette into the machine and begin operation. What if you wanted to record your own performance of a duet, piano and guitar, two voice song, or the like? Some folks managed the process with only one recorder by recording the first part, covering their erase head so that the part would not be erased on the second pass, then recording the second pass. But that approach was not satisfactory because you would have no good way to hear the first track as you perform the second one. The approach used by many home musicians was to obtain a second recorder, record the first part on the machine, rewind the tape, play it back while the second machine would be on record for the second part. My first multi-track recordings were done by using one mic to hear the first track coming from one recorder and my performance of the second track with the second recorder, catching the combined sound of both tracks. Much improvement in audio quality came when audio mixers became affordable to the home recordist. With a mixer, the audio from the playback device could be fed by a cable called a patch cord to one input of the mixer with a mic and maybe an electric guitar connected to a second input of that mixer. The sound quality was noticeably improved because the audio for the first time in digital rather than analog medium. Gone was the speed variations called wow and flutter caused by the mechanical transports on tape systems. Using two CDRW discs, I was able to produce pretty good recordings of songs involving six or eight tracks. With a stereo mixer, stereo recording was possible. but that system had the same drawback found on the earlier tape bouncing schemes, and that the last track being recorded was the only one in which any correction could be made. Welcome the multi-track digital recorder, having 4 independent tracks at first, but soon burgeoning to perhaps as many as 24 tracks as I have on my Tascam DP24 in my home recording studio. Such equipment provided several total independent mono tracks which could be treated as stereo pairs for the first time in multi-track recording. The recorders could continue to have individual control of each track, including its level, placement in the stereo field called panning, as well as bass and treble equalization. One more wonderful addition to the home recorder's digital toolbox came by way of punch-in/punch-out facility of the modern recorder. This system would allow a singer to redo one phrase of a song either by pressing a button or pedal at exactly the point to start the corrective recording and repeating the press to stop the recording process, or by setting a pair of marks to define the portion of the recording again, much like an editing system prevalent on word processing equipment. So far, we have been considering hardware recorders with real buttons and knobs, but there is now a very competent group of software recorders in which a program running a PC or Mac computer captures the sound and also does many of the functions I have done for a few years on my Tascam recorder. My recorder is in the class of dedicated recorders, meaning that it is designed only for recording and editing sound recordings without printing, word processing, email, graphical manipulation, and other capabilities common on any other computer. My degree in music and my love of country and rock music of the 50s and 60s, along with my preference for equipment with buttons and knobs over the mouse and touched panel equipment, all work together to give me a strong interest in arranging, performing, and recording multi-track music. I frequently create a quartet which I sing all 4 parts, or my wife might sing 1 or 2 of them. I also record country and rock music with as many tracks as I need for a one-man band, which I finally called Knobby Mountain Band. I would encourage anyone with decent computer skills wanting to try multi-track recording to look at one of the programs written for the computer system at hand, because you already have much of the equipment needed, including accessibility software with your computer. Goldwave, Reaper, and a few other programs have trial versions available which allow a person to use them either for a limited period of time after installation or after a prescribed number of operations have been performed. I like Goldwave because it continues to feel like a traditional recorder with dedicated keys for its functions. GarageBand is one program written for Apple equipment such as the iPhone. In conclusion, the primary objective should usually be that having fun and creating something which is yours to enjoy and share with family and friends. Following are a couple of examples of music I have arranged and recorded. The 2 audio files can be accessed by going to MissouriCouncilOfTheBlind.org and going to the Chronicle page.